For our scripture reading this morning, we'll be reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2, first 7 verses. As we continue in our study of prayer in the Christian's life, we're looking today at its essence and what it means. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of God. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I am appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in the faith, in faith and truth. So I've read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And may God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. For the believer in Christ, one of the most neglected activity of his or her life is prayer, which was what we noted last week. However, we also learned prayer is a necessary part of the Christian life. Four reasons from Scripture were given that gave us solid ground upon which to stand in asserting the necessity of prayer in the believer's life. And I'm just going to briefly summarize them here before we go on to the next section of this topic of prayer. First, we learned that God has commanded us to pray, which should be reason enough in itself. However, the second reason as to why prayer is necessary will keep prayer from becoming just a rote or a mere obedience, which is that our own sin nature necessitates prayer. Because of the second reason, the Christian is driven to Christ, upon whom we depend for all things necessary for body and soul. Indeed, it ought to be what drives all men to Christ for salvation and deliverance. The third reason prayer is necessary is because of the necessity of giving thanks for what God has blessed us with already, which are necessary for body and soul through Christ our Savior. And then fourth, we learned that prayer is necessary because it is the means God prescribes for asking Him for grace in the Holy Spirit. Grace which is required in our daily walk because of the weakness of our flesh as we carry out our daily labors, whether it's as a housewife, a student, or employee, a supervisor, a manager, or a business owner. We ask for the Holy Spirit because we need the Holy Spirit to enlighten us, enlighten our minds to understand all that is revealed to us in God's Word, renew our hearts so faith is strengthened to embrace with believing hearts all that is promised in God's Word. Believe that there's not a single true Christian that would argue against the necessity of prayer. However, when it comes down to actually engaging in a constant and consistent prayer life, that's a different story. While pride and stubbornness of the heart may be the primary reasons for a poor prayer life, there are other reasons also, which will be discussed as we progress through this series of messages on prayer. One of those reasons for a poor prayer life is perhaps due to the lack of understanding of what prayer is. We sort of mentioned that last week also. When asked what prayer is, there are many who profess faith in Christ that would not come up with a biblically sound definition of it. Indeed, there are all sorts of definitions of prayer, but the most common definition is found in the dictionary. When we look up the word prayer, it'll tell you that it is to petition a deity It is what you do when you want something from a God. Sadly, for many Christians, this is also their understanding of prayer. It's merely asking God for something, and as a result, He becomes more or less a cosmic Santa Claus, which reflects more or less what we might call an entitlement mentality that prevails throughout many Christian communities, that thinks that if you ask God for anything, you are entitled to get it, regardless of whether it's proper or whether it's God's will for you to have what it is you ask of Him. We'll look at this mindset a little closer when we consider what is prayer that is acceptable to God. Regardless, petitioning God for something is only one aspect of prayer. Not just asking for something, there's more to the definition of prayer than that. For that reason, the dictionary definition of prayer is at best incomplete. And yet, though it is more than just asking for God for something, understanding what prayer is not complicated, which leads us to the subject of today's message, the essence of prayer. As we continue our series of messages on prayer, we will look to answer this morning the question of what prayer is. Williamson writes that prayer is, quote, fundamentally the longing aspiration of the regenerate heart for the true God as His portion, end quote. In other words, it is that longing of the true believer in Christ to not merely have a religion of outward ceremony and ritual, but to possess a heartfelt relationship of an inseparable deep love of God as His child. One who has been purchased of God and adopted as His child. This inseparable deep love for God is expressed in a similar manner as a young child who looks to his or her father with deep admiration and with a deep sense of need for His provision and protection. Notice I said young child. After a while, that kind of goes away. The point here is that the young child looks to the Father for protection, for provision. As a child of the Most High God, born anew by the Holy Spirit, the believer in Christ is given the desire to look to his or her Heavenly Father with adoration on the one hand, and on the other hand with a deep sense of dependency, invoking his or her Heavenly Father, calling upon Him with a thankful heart for all things necessary for body and soul. And this is what prayer is, which we know consists of two general characteristics, adoration and invocation. And let's look a little closer at both of these characteristics that make up or define prayer for us. The first characteristic that defines prayer is adoration. Adoration has two aspects to it, which is praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving are so closely connected that one might say that to give praise is to God is to give thanks to Him. And to give thanks to God is to give praise to Him. And so in this message, a distinction will be maintained regardless of the fact that this is inseparable two aspects of the same thing. We're gonna make a distinction here without losing sight of their inseparable connection. Praise is given to God for who He is, which also includes glorifying Him in His works in general. We're talking about a general aspect here. When one thinks of giving praise to the Lord, our thoughts immediately go to the Psalms, which are packed full of praises to God. However, we will look only at three Psalms today. We can look at a lot more, but I narrowed it down to three to illustrate the point. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, we see the praise given to God by King David. We read, quote, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. End quote. We note that King David is giving praise to the Lord for who He is, for His holiness, for the glory that is due His name, His strength and His might. In Psalm 33, verses 2 through 9, King David again gives praise to the Lord, expanding upon what he wrote in Psalm 29, praising the Lord for His Word being right and His works done in truth, for the power of His Word in creating the heavens, breathing into existence all the hosts of heaven, and then creating the earth. The Lord spoke, the Lord commanded, and it was done. The waters of the deep stood fast. And then in verse 9, King David finishes his praise of God's power and might in His Word, which He used to speak into existence all things by saying, quote, "Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." We see the creation out there. We see the beauty of the mountains, which you don't have in the plains, by the way. There are no mountains out there. We see the beauty of the mountains out there. We see the beauty even in the desert. We stand in awe. God causes us to stand in absolute awe before our mighty God. Beloved in the Lord, if we're not standing in awe of God and who He is and His might and His power, in awe of the creation of the heavens and the earth, then we'll not be able to praise His name. And we see in Psalm 146 how the psalmist praises the Lord for who He is and what He has done, praising Him for the works of His hands, praising Him for being the eternal God who helps His people and is worthy of all trust. In other words, He's a faithful God. He's not like the princes of the world. He's not like people of this world, the rulers of this world who break their promises. He's not like the princes, for they will die. And for many of them, we can only hope that their ideologies will die with them. These rulers of this world cannot bring true freedom, true hope. God's Word is truth. God's Word is forever. God's truth is forever. God, the Lord, lives forever. God is just in bringing justice to the oppressed. He feeds the hungry. He feeds those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He frees the prisoner in spiritual bondage. He is the true King who reigns forever. So we see in prayer, we are to give praise to the Lord as we adore the greatness and might of His name, standing in awe of who He is and what He has done. Closely connected to giving adoration to the Lord in praising and glorifying His name for who He is and what He has done in all creation and for His people in particular, the Lord is to be adored with the giving of thanks. We see this connection between praise and thanksgiving in adoration to God that characterizes prayer in Psalm 147, verses 7 through 9, where we read, quote, "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry," end quote. To sing praises to the Lord includes doing so with thanksgiving. In adoration to the Lord, we are to adore Him with thanksgiving, giving thanks to the Lord and praise and glory to His name for what He has done in sustaining and upholding His creation. Contrary to popular belief, man does not uphold and sustain the world. He has no control over the climate. It's God that upholds His creation. According to Psalm 100, we are to enter into worship and adoration of the Lord with thankful hearts for who He is. We read in verses 4 and 5 these instructions in entering into the world of the Lord. Quote, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, His truth endures to all generations." Thus we are to pray to the Lord in adoration, giving thanks to Him for His goodness, for His mercy that is everlasting, and His truth that endures forever. We give thanks to the Lord for all that He is and for all that He has done. As believers in Christ, we are to give praise to God with thanksgiving for His abounding grace towards sinners like you and I in redeeming us by the blood of Christ and giving us new life, a new heart by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, God's justice has been satisfied so that we are no longer oppressed by sin. He has fed us with in His Word, satisfying us in His righteousness and truth. He has freed us from the prison of sin, so that being freed from the bondage of sin, we are able to live unto Him forever. He is indeed worthy of all praise and thanksgiving, for He is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. But adoration in praise and thanksgiving to God is just half of what prayer means. The other half of what prayer means consists of the characteristic of invocation. Invocation is to call upon the true God, to ask of Him for such things as are necessary, both for body and soul, and to render thanks to Him for the benefits we have received from His fatherly hand. For our scripture reading this morning, we read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. In that first verse, we see what is involved in invoking God in prayer. There are four elements of invoking God in prayer. And these elements are supplication, petition, which is translated translated prayer in our text, intercessions, and the giving of thanks. We'll look briefly at each of these elements of invocation. First, we make supplication in our prayers by calling upon the Lord for protection and deliverance from evil. It is an urgent plea for help. In Scripture, we read of many accounts where people have cried out to the Lord in desperation for relief from what is troubling them. We read in Psalm 18:6, where David tells us that in his time of distress, he made supplication to the Lord, crying out to Him. Find in Matthew 14:30 that when Peter cried out, he began to sink as he walked on the water toward Jesus. He cried out saying, "Lord, save me." Three real simple words. He was making supplication to the Lord, to Jesus, crying out to Him to save him. The Lord Himself, according to Hebrews 5:7, offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who is able to save him from death. Don't think for a moment that Jesus looked forward to dying on the cross. That was no fun trip for Him. It was serious business. If it was possible for it to pass, He prayed. And He was asking the Father to let it pass. But He knew it would not. It had to be done. According to God's will, it was done. So He cried out with tears. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out to the Father, making supplication to Him so intensely that His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He wasn't sweating blood. It's talking about how it was flowing. It was a free flow of sweat. It was a free flow of sweat. He was sweating so much. He was in so much agony facing the prospect of His death. He cried out, making supplication to the Father. And this is what is meant in Philippians 4:6, where we are told to not be anxious for anything, but we are to make our requests known to God, crying out to Him in our day of trouble, in our distress, make supplication to the Lord. When we have anxious moments, cry out to the Lord, make supplication to Him. He will help, He will save, and He'll deliver. And He will give us, what does it say there in verse 8? He will give us the peace that passes all understanding. Peace of God that passes all understanding. Do we cry out to the Lord in times of distress? Do we make supplication to Him, seeking His help in our time of trouble, going boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need, to seek by faith His wisdom as we go through times of trial? This leads us to the second element of invocation, which is closely related to supplication and flows from it, which is petition. Petitions is translated prayers. in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. So that there's not going to be any confusion, I'm going to be using the word petitions, which is what's being referred to here in this verse. It is a specific form of prayer where the believer in Christ asks God for something that is needed. It differs from supplications in that when making supplication, the believer is making an urgent plea to God against evil, deliverance from something bad, to save from sin, so on and so forth. Whereas to petition the Lord is to ask for something good, for His blessings, such as for grace, Holy Spirit, or even to supply a physical need, such as food or shelter. In Matthew 17:5, when the apostles asked the Lord to increase their faith, they were petitioning Him for something that is good. A blessing of more faith to believe in Him more deeply. A greater trust in God. In 1 John 5:14 and 15, we are told that if we petition God asking anything according to His will, He hears our prayers and we will have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Asking God according to His will. We're not just to make supplication and petitions for ourselves. We're also to make supplication and petitions to God for others. To make intercession on behalf of others in need, which is the third element of the characteristic of invocation in our definition of prayer. In Ephesians 6:18, we are instructed that when taking up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, we are to do so, quote, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not just for us, but for all the saints, was the exhortation that Paul was giving in Ephesians. We are to carry out our duties as Christians, praying continually, petitioning the Lord for His grace and Holy Spirit, crying out to Him in the Spirit, so that we will not be overcome in our battles against the enemies of this life, but rather have victory over them. We are to continually pray, petitioning the Lord and making supplication to Him, not just for ourselves, but also for others, for all the saints in Christ. Indeed, according to the passage in 1 Timothy, we are to pray for all men of various classes. And yet, in invoking the Lord in our prayers, petitioning for His blessing of good things and making supplications to Him for His deliverance from the bad things in this life, for ourselves and for others, we are to also do so with thanksgiving. Again, thanksgiving is a part of invocation, just as it was for adoration. Giving thanks to the Lord for what He has already given us by His grace. We are to give thanks to God lest we become ungrateful ingrates. I know that's redundant, but I love it. Ungrateful ingrates. We seek from God His blessings and His deliverance as though they are entitled to them, as though they're deserving of these things. Let us remember that we are not deserving of even the least of God's favors, and that whatever we have received, it is merely of grace alone, His grace alone. Therefore, when we petition the Lord and make supplication to Him, we are to do so with thanksgiving, just as we are told to do in Philippians, where it says that in everything by prayer, by petitions and supplication, we are to make our requests known to God with thanksgiving. And elsewhere, we are taught that we are to, quote, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We are to pray with thanksgiving, with thankful hearts, not with an entitlement mindset. So we see that giving thanks is an essential part of prayer in our adoration of God and Christ, in our invocation, calling upon the true God, asking of Him for all things that are necessary for body and for soul. Indeed, the giving of thanks is not only an essential part of prayer, it is a required part of it, as we have seen from just a few passages in God's Word. Now we have learned what prayer is. Prayer's essence. It is to express adoration to God and praise and thanksgiving. It is to invoke God's blessing and protection in our petitions to Him and in our supplications to Him, in our times of need of both body and soul, and in times of desperation and trouble, in times when we have fallen into sin. Not much time left there to not be praying. Beloved in the Lord, let us consider what we've learned in applying and what we've learned this morning and applying it to our lives. First of all, do we adore God as a child adores his or her father, holding him in awe for who he is, for all that he has done, for his great works of creation, for his great work of redemption through Christ, for his goodness, his wisdom, his might, his mercy, and his grace? In adoring him, do we give thanks to him for all that he is, for all that he is, and for all that he has done? And then do we go to him as a child goes to his father? Do we call upon the Lord, asking him for his continued hand of blessing and in providing for all things necessary for body and soul? Do we cry out to the Lord in times of urgent need, crying out for deliverance and salvation, trusting that by his grace we'll be delivered from all our troubles, from all that distresses us, for the sake of Christ's work on the cross on our behalf? Or have we forgotten that we are to go to the throne of grace in our time of need? Have we forgotten that He who sent His only begotten Son, not sparing Him, but rather delivered Him up for us all, that He will not also, with Him also freely give us all things, knowing that nothing can separate us from His love for us who belong to Him through Christ Jesus our Lord? Do we cry out to Him when we fall into sin, seeking His grace and Holy Spirit, not only to forgive us from our sins, but also to deliver us and strengthen us to overcome the temptation to continue in our sinful behavior, whatever it may be? Or do we take for granted God's forgiveness in Christ, forgetting that we are to continually come to God by faith, humbly confessing our sins, knowing that He will forgive us of our sins as we look by faith to the cross of Christ, where the forgiveness of sins was obtained, and to seek His strength in overcoming temptations? Are you praying daily, longing for the true God as our portion, as a child longing to Him? See, there's no reason, no excuse for those of us who are in Christ by true faith that we should not be praying without ceasing in adoration and invocation. Let us therefore pray without ceasing, giving thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we rejoice in You, we give thanks unto You. As a child adores the Father, we adore You, O Lord. We adore You in all Your magnificence, the greatness and might, and the power that You possess. That's a part of Your very nature. We praise and glory in all these things, O Lord. We thank You for creating a world that we might inhabit. Lord, that You gave to us to manage, to care. What a blessing that is. Yet, Lord, You still reign over all things. You control the climate. You control the events of the world, that You would be glorified and that Your people would be gathered into Your kingdom. Lord, we know that we fail and we don't do those things that You have commanded us to do. Coming to You, invoking Your will, making our request known unto You, carrying the burden of anxiety, our cares around on our own. We don't make supplication to You. We don't cry out to You for whatever the reason. Perhaps it's just pride. But Lord, give us humble hearts that in times of trouble that we would cry out to You, that we would make our petitions known unto You, Your blessings upon us, and give thanks to You, not only for us, but for others also. Let's be in prayer for not only other saints, but also for those who are unbelievers, that You would be pleased to bring them into Your kingdom. In the hearing of the message of Christ, that You would grant them repentance and faith. Repentance from sin, faith in Christ. Resting in Him alone for their salvation. In all these things, Lord, let us be thankful people. Grateful for what we have. Because all that we have we've received from Your fatherly hand according to Your goodness and Your grace that abounds towards us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Be with us this week. Guide us and direct us in all our ways that we might live our lives continually in prayer before You, the Holy God. That we might live to serve You and You alone to Your glory and honor. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.